Yeah, Hannelore was born on the 18th of November, 1929, in a place called Hechthausen. It's a small farming village about 50, 60 kilometers north of Hamburg, along the Elbe River, that where she was born. I was born in the province of Mecklenburg, which is about an hour from Hamburg, but going the other way towards the east. What is the capital? What is Schwerin? You get Stettin, and there it's by car, it's 1 hour. The place is called Grabow. Grabow, it's Grabow. Grabow, Mecklenburg is the province, and I was born on the 15th of February 1932. We then later we moved out of there at the, I think it must have been 1939, at the beginning of the war. What had happened? My father was the representative for the German automobile industry in East Africa, Tanzania, which in a long, long time ago was the German East Africa under the Kaiser's days. And he established a business there. My mother went over in the early 39 to check things out, came back to Germany to fetch my late brother and myself to go to Africa. And then Mr. Hitler decided to go to war. My father was locked up, wrong country, wrong passport, wrong time, 6.5 years behind barbed wire. And my mother, grandmother, and my late brother and myself, we were what later became East Germany. That part where I was born became East Germany. But we moved out of there to this place called Cuxhaven, which is a fairly big, the second biggest fishing port in Germany, where the Elbe River flows into the North Sea. That is basically where I grew up and went to school. Mother was born in East, what was in those days East Prussia. Was born in East Prussia. Her father was born in North Germany, in Hechthausen, the place where Hannelore was born. His name was Otto, pretty straightforward name. He was in the military, he was in the cavalry. He was an officer at the cavalry, and he came to Eastern Prussia and met Hannelore's mother and took her away from there and brought her to North Germany. That's where they got married. Hannelore and myself, we met in 1949 in a place called Cuxhaven, which is North Germany, where the Elbe River flows into the North Sea. It's about 100 kilometers north of Hamburg. She was one of the local sort of sports stars in athletics. She was pretty good at 4x100 meter relay. She was the local champ in high jump, and she played a game called handball. We had a little club. A whole lot of us youngsters got together, and we had a little shed in the garden. We put a bar into it, made a bit of music there, and all very harmless stuff. But it didn't have a very good reputation, but there was no reason for it. And all the parents told their daughters they mustn't go there. Well, of course, that was the wrong thing to do. All the girls were queuing up to try and get into the place. And I was the barman. I've never had a drinking problem in my life. So I was in charge of the bar. And in came Hannelore. That's the first time I saw her. And I thought, oh, well, there's somebody coming along very attractive, very nice figure, super pair of legs, everything fitted. And she had a friend with her, but there was nothing serious. And it didn't take very long. We got rid of the friend, and we started a friendship, which developed for about a year. Then we decided to go back to South Africa, where my father had been before the war, had spent 6.5 years behind barbed wire during the war, wrong passport, wrong country, wrong time. Then the Germans got kicked out there. He came back to Germany. The South African government of the day decided that they needed the Germans who had been there back in the country. They were all highly qualified engineers, etc. And my dad said to us, right, we're going to Africa. That was in 1951. We had not been there. That was my late brother and myself. So we said, well, that's fine, hooray. We're going to Africa. So we went down there. Hannelore had to stay behind. But the friendship lasted. And a year later, she decided she was going to follow me to Southern Africa, which was, well, quite a big deal in those days. You know, in 1951, 52, people didn't fly around in the world like they do nowadays. So it took her 2 days to get down there, I think. She flew from Munich to Essen, from Essen to Cairo, Cairo Entebbe, Entebbe Nairobi, and eventually ended up in an old airport in Johannesburg, which doesn't exist anymore. And I didn't have a car in those days, but I had a 5-ton international truck. So I picked her up with a 5-ton truck to bring her to the place where we were busy establishing a new life. And she gave us a good hand there in trying to build things up again. Times were tough. Not much money around, new country, just a couple of years after the war. So it was not very easy, but we made it. And she, one thing she never forgot, when she got to Essen in 1952, she saw for the first time in her life, she saw a woman breastfeeding a baby on the airport. Now you can imagine coming from a small conservative town in North Germany, walking into the airport with breastfeeding woman. She nearly fell over. She'd never seen anything like that before. Nowadays, it's pretty straightforward. But in 1952, it wasn't. Anyway, that stuck with her. So we stayed there, for about 2 years. But things didn't work out very well. We moved away from there into the country, basically into the bush. The nearest town was about 100 miles away. No shops, no nothing, just, well, the proper Africa. Crocodiles and hippos in the river, leopards around, and that sort of thing. And we had a private contract on a local chrome mine, which we undertook, and we decided to get married there, which was in 1953, July 1953. We married at a magistrate office. There was no church there, and when we were signing the book at the magistrate office, the magistrate had tears running down his cheeks. I said, well, what's the problem? Oh, he said, two young people coming from so far away from the other side of the world, getting married in his office was too much. He was and he started crying. So I said, oh, well, here we go. So we stayed there for a couple of years, started getting on top of things. And we then moved to Johannesburg. Hannelore and myself. And I started working as a mechanic, and she was a trained photographer. She started working for the local photo studio and ran one of the local branches for about a year and a half. And then in 1955, Heike, the eldest daughter, was born. So I decided, well, that's the end of her working as a photographer. If I can't make enough money to bring up a family, there must be something wrong with me. So she stayed at home looking after Heike. And we then decided to move away from Johannesburg for the same company I was working for. I, by that time, had advanced into the workshop foreman, looking after a huge machine park and power plants, caterpillars, graders, you name it, we did everything. And we moved into the country where we stayed for a sort of 2 years in a place, well, it was basically also in the middle of nowhere, proper small country town. We then got a contract with the same company in another part of South Africa. We actually moved 15 times, I think, all over the place with this construction company, wherever the work was. So we saw a lot of the country. Then in 1957, the second daughter was born, Claudia. So the family started to grow, and Hannelore was holding the fort at home, bringing up the family, and I was running the workshop. There was no store, the nearest town was about 60 miles away where we could go shopping. And Hannelore was a very, very good cook. And whenever the engineers and people in charge came for an inspection on the contract, they all ended up with Hannelore dining out a la carte. So she was cooking for the whole lot of them. She became very, very popular. This went on for a couple of years. We moved again. And in the end of the 50s, I was offered a position to build a fertilizer factory in Zululand, north of Durban, sugarcane center of South Africa. So I investigated the offer, I took it up, and we moved to Zululand. We had a brand new house, brand new car. It was a very, very attractive offer. Hannelore took the two daughters, Heike and Claudia, and went to Germany for about 2-3 months while I worked in the fertilizer factory to get an idea what was going on, because I didn't know the inside of a fertilizer factory. But I quickly learned and then moved into the bush and started building a factory with a whole horde of Zulus, a couple of Indians, put a borehole down. I'm very good in divining for water. So I took my gadget and started looking for water. Said, right, this is where the water is. We drilled for water, put up a power station. We had to make our own power plant, and away we went and build a factory in the middle of nowhere while Hannelore was looking after the kids at home. She liked her singing. She sang in the choir for quite a while, and she was very active in yoga, etc. So we kept ourselves busy. I then decided I need to get a pilot license, which I did, and I got myself a plane, and we started flying. It was quite common practice in that part of Southern Africa. We used to fly to Mozambique, Portuguese East Africa, to go fishing, etc., etc. Of course, Hannelore was always with us, and I remember one flight coming back from Mozambique, back to Zululand, South Africa, early in the morning, we fell into an air pocket. It was an old American plane called a Fairchild. Six-cylinder, 200 horsepower Ranger engine with a wooden prop. But it was a very, very, very nice plane, actually, very, very stable. Well, we fell into this air hole and we dropped out of the sky. And there was Hannelore and Heike and Claudia were sitting in the plane under the roof. She had a big bump on her head and thought, this is the end of the Eckhoff family. We'll probably go crashing down. Anyway, these air pockets, they don't go all the way. It stopped. And I was not the most experienced pilot, but yeah, I knew how to fly. And we got out of it, managed to land at home. Everything was good. And the next time we went flying, I was looking at her and she had the fingernails in her hand into the barn, pressing her hand, and she was not enjoying the flying at all. But she still came along. And by that time I had started spearfishing, free diving, strictly free diving, and with all sorts of things going on. You name it, underwater, we ran into it, small shark, big sharks, all sorts of things. And she came with us. She did not actually take part in the spearfishing herself, but she always came along. That went on, yeah, for a couple of years. It was a wonderful life. We had a shed on the beach. You can imagine 100 miles, 160 kilometers of beach, as wild as it gets. And there was one hut, and that was mine, and nobody else around. That's where we spend our free time. But time went on, working up to 16 hours a day, while Hannelore was looking after the children. Then daughter number three, which was Anya, she was then born. Late 70s, I got a lucky break. I decided to sell the business, which I did. Jumped on an aeroplane, went to England, bought an ocean-going yacht, and sailed from South Africa via Brazil, etc., down to Cape Town. In 1975, we did the race from Cape Town to Rio Janeiro. And in 1977, the family took off on the world cruise. That was Hannelore's first time on a yacht. She was a sports girl, athletic, but she didn't have much connection with blue water sailing. So off we went. We left from Cape Town, called into Namibia, across the Santa Helena, Brazil, Caribbean, America. On the way from Bermuda to Newport, Rhode Island, we ran into, in the Bermuda Triangle, we ran into some extreme weather, and Heike's now husband was part of the crew. He got washed overboard, but we managed to get him back. 2 o'clock in the morning, 35 knots of wind, breaking waves, but the water was warm, and he managed to find the life ring, kept himself afloat, and half an hour later, we picked him up again. We carried on by yacht, went up to the Canadian border, there north of Maine, then went back. The whole East Coast went down to Miami, and then later across the Bahamas to the Panama Canal, we went into the Pacific. Hannelore left the boat. She needed, for health reasons, she needed to go to South Africa, and she took Anya, the youngest daughter, with her to go back to school for a little while. And then the eldest daughter, my son-in-law, and myself, we carried on as far as Papeete, French Polynesia. And there Hannelore and Anya joined the yacht again in French Polynesia. We carried on through the Pacific, Ecuador, Galapagos Islands, French Polynesia, Cook Islands, Tonga, Fiji, etc., etc. And we arrived in New Zealand in November 1980, coming from Fiji by yacht. Immediately liked the place, and we decided if we can stay here, we would stop the trip on the yacht The original plan was to go back to Cape Town and we would stay in New Zealand. So we applied for residence, which we got in 1982. Bought this house, the house we are still sitting in here now. We've been here since 1982. And we started sailing from here to the islands. There's no island around here where we haven't been. I think we did 35 trips from New Zealand to all the various islands. Honolulu was always, in the early days, she used to sail with, and later she got a little bit tired of the long trips and the Tasman Sea and getting tossed and hammered around. She used to fly to the island and join the yacht there, while I would go out there with crew. And we kept that up until 3 years ago. She was the last time in New Caledonia, was the last time then her health started deteriorating and she got some dementia and she couldn't really do the trips anymore, flying to the islands, and we decided we'll have to stay at home. And I started looking after her. I did it for nearly 3 years, best I could, but everybody says I did a reasonable job. But the last 2 months of her life, she needed more care than I was able to give her. So she ended up in a retirement village nearby. And she was actually quite happy there. And then, of course, we ended this problem with the coronavirus, and the place was shut down. And the family was not able to see her anymore, and she could not understand why the family wasn't coming. So, but that is just the way it was. And on the day she passed away, I had something inside me was telling that I have to do something. So I called the village. I said, look, can you not put Hannelore in a wheelchair and bring her outside so she can at least see me and can try and understand why the family is not coming anymore, because she couldn't quite work out what all this lockout was for. But they refused, they wouldn't do it. But I got them to bring a laptop into Hannelore's room, and one of the nurses was most helpful. They got the Skype going on the laptop, and on the day she passed away, or that night she passed away, that afternoon we managed to have a very good conversation on Skype. She recognized me, was laughing and waving, was happy to see the family. And I explained again and said, look, we have this problem with the virus. We are just not allowed to come there. You just have to hang in there and better times will be coming. But that night she said to the nurse, she's very tired. She would like to go to bed and sleep, and she didn't wake up. So that was the end. She had a very, very exciting life. I'd say her life was way out of the ordinary. She managed to have her 90th birthday at home here, which she very much enjoyed. And she was only in the retirement village for just over 2 months. She was a good sport. And if I think back, you throw somebody into a blue water yacht and you sail out of Cape Town around the world, and she took everything in her stride, even if she wasn't a sailor. But she always gave it her best shot and tried her best. Always held the family together. Very loyal. She was a very loyal person. Yeah. Well, I think basically the family is very loyal. We're loyal to one another. And I suppose as marriages go these days, we probably had a pretty good one. No drama. Life had its ups and downs. The beginning in Africa was tough. When you get to a new country and you got no money, life's not easy. But now we managed to get on top of things and made a success of it later on. So, no, he was very, in her young days when I met her, she was very attractive, very well-known sports girl, had a very good sense of humor. And well, we just, I suppose, how would you say, things clicked. Me as the barman and she being a customer in front of the bar, it was just one of those first-time contacts which stuck forever. And as a 21-year-old, to jump on a plane and fly 2 days halfway around the world to get to Africa, that was quite a thing in those days. We always had lots of friends. We are well-liked. People, thinking back now, people were looking for the company, coming to us for advice for all sorts of things and what was happening in their life. They thought we were the gurus. We could give them some advice. No, it's all been pretty good.